Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Oscar Talk podcast. Once again, this is the third episode with Archie and
Lucas. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about the 1976 Oscars and a bit about the BAFTAs too, because they happened last Sunday.
Yeah, that Sunday. Is the yeah that the BAFTAs were the kind of the last big award kind of thing before the Oscars. They're pretty big, probably second to the Oscars, I would say, before the Oscars. Because of course, next episode in 2 weeks' time, we will be talking about the winners and the losers of the 2021 Oscar ceremony. Very exciting. Very excited to talk about that and see who takes home the gold.
Yeah. We're not going to get into that much though this episode, because we've already done an episode on who we want to win.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about how disappointed we are that they don't win, because they probably won't, knowing the Oscars. They like surprising us. I don't like it.
Yeah. We'll see, because I'm just praying that Trial of Chicago 7 doesn't win Best Picture. I'm praying.
Yeah, with the BAFTAs, there were certainly some surprises and some that I was not happy with.
Okay, what were you happy with?
His House.
Ah.
I did not like that film. I thought it was... It's another one where I think it was completely bad. Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't like it, and I don't think it should have won the Outstanding Debut. I think maybe because I've heard St. Maud is very good. I haven't seen many of these like Outstanding Debut nominated films, but out of them, St. Maud seems like the one that should have won, because I've heard really good things about that one.
I'm with you on this one. I wouldn't call His House bad. I'd just call it mediocre. It didn't do anything new, other than maybe, you know, with the kind of, were they immigrants in the film or something? Moving to the UK, that transition, that process, putting a horror spin on it, kind of like what Hereditary does, making it a family drama, but in the horror genre, incorporating horror elements into that. But no, I was not a fan of His House. I was, you know, it just didn't, apart from the fact of the immigration thing and putting it on, but then nothing really happens. It's just kind of like, no, I know quite a few people. I think we might be in slight minority, Archie, with this, but I'm glad we can agree on it, because I was, it didn't deserve that. I wasn't happy with that. And with you, I have not seen St. Maud, but I think that looks like a more interesting film to win that. I'm just looking on the BAFTA website to see if I can see the other nominations, but so do you have anything else to say? There's Calm with Horses, which was quite good. I'm just looking here, and The Father, which is meant to be good. I haven't seen that, but I've seen Calm with Horses, which was, and The Dig. These films are better than His House, but I think His House takes more risks than The Dig.
That's a different award though, because there's the Outstanding Debut.
I'm looking at Outstanding British Film. Here we are, the debut.
Yeah, the Outstanding British Film one. I was very happy that Promising Young Woman won. I was yelling when that got announced. I was so happy. I'm glad like Rocks didn't win or something like that, because that was getting loads of nominations, and I haven't seen it, and I don't want to see it, because it kind of looks, it doesn't interest me.
No.
I don't want it to win.
Well, luckily, I don't think it was nominated for any Oscars, so you don't have to worry about if it's going to take home any Oscar gold.
Because I was looking online, and it came out like 2018 in most places, and I just kind of think sometimes they're a bit dumb when they're like, it was released in 2020 here or something.
Yeah, and also another glaring film that I realised that was not nominated for Outstanding Debut was Lynn and Lucy. I don't know if you've seen that film. That is a really good... It was in my top 10 of 2020. No longer is, since I've seen other films of 2020 that are better than that. But it's still a brilliant British film, independent British film. I would highly recommend it. And it was not even nominated here. So I don't get that. Maybe it was because I think it debuted a few festivals in 2019, but it officially came out in 2020. So I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about the biggest surprise quickly with the BAFTAs. And that was Chadwick Boseman not winning Best Actor.
Yes, this has really thrown a spanner into the works, I feel, in the Oscar race, in the build-up to the Oscars. Hopkins took home the gold, the BAFTA gold. And I haven't seen his performance, but I hear it's outstanding. I mean, he won a BAFTA for it. And sorry, I'll let you talk in a minute, Archie, but I do know that some actors have taken home the BAFTA for best performance, but not taken home the Oscar. So it could be just that case of Hopkins wins the BAFTA, but Chadwick, you know, Boseman, he takes home the Oscar. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Anthony Hopkins is British. The film, The Father, is British.
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling there might have been a slight bias here.
It is the BAFTAs, after all.
It's for British cinema mainly, but yeah. They incorporate, because the thing is with some of these, like going back up to British film quickly, I didn't know Promising Young Woman, the Mauritanian, or like some of these films, they don't seem British because then they're like America and everything.
Yeah, same.
And I was
I didn't know Promising Young Woman was a British film.
I knew the director was British, but then you're kind of saying, oh yes, Tenet is a British film. I don't think Tenet.
Yeah, and Promising Young Woman is set in America. Obviously, Carey Mulligan, she's British, but she's an American. It's all in kind of in American actors and things.
Because same with the Mauritanian. I haven't seen it, but I know it's about Guantanamo Bay.
Mm.
Americans.
Jodie Foster. Jodie, isn't that?
I don't even think anyone is British in it.
Probably the director and the producers are British. That might. Yeah, it might be just a based British production, but they went and shot it in different countries, or maybe some studio stuff was done at Pinewood or wherever. And
Anthony Hopkins, again, as I said, he's British. Mm. He was going to win, but I think Chadwick Boseman, the Oscars are more mainstream.
Yeah,
and they will want to please the masses rather than just. Because the BAFTAs, only really British people watch them.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, okay, we got to please the Brits.
Yeah.
Give everything to the Brits. And I just think Chadwick Boseman is what's going to please the masses. Mm.
The rest of
the world. So.
Yeah, and Boseman's performance is fantastic. Outstanding, even, in Ma Rainey's. So...
Yeah,
I do need to watch The Father. That is the only film, actually, out of the films nominated for Best Picture that I haven't seen. That's the final one I need to watch. I cannot wait, but I'm just a bit apprehensive about watching it on a website because sometimes when I'm watching it on a website, it randomly pauses. And then I've got to unpause it and it takes ages to catch up. A film like The Father, I don't want that to happen. It happened with Promising Young Woman, but right now, every film that was nominated for Best Picture is available in the UK except for The Father, which happens to be a British film.
That makes no sense. Mm. I don't get it.
It's annoying.
Promising Young Woman just came out.
Yeah.
Nomadland isn't available
in the UK. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Because it annoys me. Why did they decide to put it out after the Oscars?
Yeah. I was going to rewatch it on Disney Plus before the Oscars. 5 days after. And then I realised, it's coming out after the Oscars. I thought, great. You know.
It just doesn't make sense. But another thing that I did find funny, the two winners of the acting award, the leading acting awards, they didn't turn up.
Yeah.
Neither of them were there.
It seems that some actors, they kind of skip the BAFTAs, but they're usually there for the Oscars.
If they're there for the Oscars, then we'll know they just don't like British people. Anthony Hopkins is British.
I know. He doesn't like Brits. That doesn't make any sense. I don't know why he wasn't there, because I follow him on Twitter and he's always posting these weird videos of him in his house, like doing just crazy. I don't know what he's doing.
Oh yeah, I've seen some of them. But yeah, everyone was doing it from their homes. So
where was he
log onto his computer?
Apparently, Frances McDormand was shooting a film, or she was somewhere, South Africa, South America maybe. I don't know. I can't remember what the director said or
I just had a funny thought of just her in the Amazon jungle logging on with mobile data, just going, "Hey, thanks for the award," cutting down a branch and then continuing on her journey. No wins for the Five Blood. It was only nominated for one or two things. One thing, I think, actually, just the supporting actor.
Who was nominated? Was it?
Daniel Kaluuya won. Barry Keoghan.
I'm
British.
Why the heck was he nominated? Where's Delroy Lindo, who was outrageously snubbed at the Oscars? That film entirely was outrageously snubbed. It should have been nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Supporting Actor with Delroy Lindo. That was awful.
Because, again, there's that one thing that confused me with Judas and the Black Messiah, which is both of the lead actors in that film, Daniel Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield, they were both nominated for supporting actors.
Yeah, I think
in the Oscars. So who's the lead?
Well, yeah, I think Stanfield. It's kind of from his perspective of the films. Technically, he's the lead, but I suspect the reason why he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor, not Best Leading Actor, is because it would be harder for him to get nominated for Best Leading Actor. I think the competition there is a little too, well, competitive with people nominated. Yeah. So, and he still gave a great performance. I think it's just a technicality, really.
And another, I'm scrolling through the list, and I don't know if Trial of Chicago 7 actually won.
Well, that's a good sign. I know, anything? You know, us Brits have got great taste in cinema, so we know what's good and not.
Did it win screenplay?
No.
Promising Young Woman won screenplay.
And actually, I actually have a problem with that, because Promising Young Woman, it has a few issues. There's a few cringy moments. The ending is a little bit. It's a nice ending, but it's still a little. It's a bit of a reach.
Yeah, the ending was. I wasn't 100% with the ending.
But I think there's also some cringy moments of dialogue. Sorry, but there is. there's better screenplays out there than Promising Woman, but I think if between Promising Woman and Trial of Chicago 7, I would prefer Promising Woman to win. And it looks like we're going to jump to just a director now. Chloe Zhao, it's probably locked in for her to win the Oscar, which would be great for her. I can't wait. You know, it's pretty much locked in. Fincher has not won, I don't think, any major award for Best Director, so it would be kind of crazy if he won it.
Poor Fincher.
I know, it's a shame. He does deserve an Oscar, but unfortunately, you know, Zhao's film is better than Mank, you know? Nomadland is better, I feel. And more well, but better directed as still, yeah.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't actually think I've seen Mank the whole way through. I think I might have drifted off to, because I watched it very late on the day it came out.
Yeah.
Very late. And I have a feeling I drifted off, but I can't be sure, because it's similar to the situation I had with what's the film called? It was one film where I couldn't remember whether I finished it or not because I fell asleep. Like,
yeah.
For me, what felt like at the end.
I mean, I would recommend you find the time to finish off, because it is a pretty good film. It's quite strong, especially the first half of the film. And the acting's good. It looks great technically. It's practically flawless. So
I think I might have finished it, is my whole thing. I really
You just missed a few chunks.
But I'm not. I liked Nomadland. I thought it was a very good film. But does it deserve to win all these awards? I'm on the fence about
it. It did win Best Film, which is great. It is the front runner for Best Picture.
Everyone knows my stance on this.
Wait, what was your stance again? I probably forgot.
Promising Young Woman. This is my favorite film that's been
It's not going to win. I'm sorry. It's not going to win.
I know. Stop making me sad. Wait, I didn't realize The Mauritanian had been nominated for Best Film. That's a surprising one.
I also want to touch on something very interesting, very crazy almost.
Yeah.
The leading actress, Frances McDormand, won. Okay, And I
Yeah.
forgot what I saw this, but out of the nominees for best act leading actress in the Oscars, you had, I think, Andra Day won the Golden Globe. Then you had Viola Davis win the SAG, the whatever, the SAG award.
Yeah.
Then you had someone else win something else. So there's no clear front runner for this. No one knows who's going to win this one because each of the actresses has won an
Well, I
award.
think we can safely say it's not Bookie Bakary. Rada Blank, Winnie Musaku, or Elfrie Woodard.
Oh, yeah, but
Yeah,
those people,
it's not going to be any of that.
oh yeah, so maybe, but the only one who hasn't actually won anything yet major is Vanessa Kirby. She was nominated for an Oscar, so maybe Vanessa Kirby will win the Oscar.
Maybe. I really don't
Who
know
knows?
because this year it's the most one of the most competitive years I think we've had in a long while.
Yeah.
Maybe 2019 was, or 2020, like the Oscars at the beginning of 2020 were quite competitive because, but I'm not sure. It entirely depends on what happens.
Yeah, so we don't know who's going to win this one, and it's interesting, and we will see because it will be a big surprise.
Yeah.
And but it's also great to see Young Jung Yun win here, and she also won the SAG award, and it's quite clear that she's probably going to win this. I really hope she wins the Oscar. It will be incredible because I loved her performance and her character in Minari. In fact, Minari is my favorite film of 2020. It's the best film as well. So I would love for her to win. If we're going on Best Picture, if I want the Academy to award the best film of the year, the best award of the year, then Minari, I'm rooting for. But I'm going to be realistic
Yeah.
about this. It hasn't really won much. It might not be a strong contender, but it is about family, and I know this. It's kind of a cliche thing to say. Oh, this film's about family. You can pretty much say about that any film.
Lucas. You're reminding me of Fast and Furious. It's all
But
about
no, it
family.
truly, Minari truly is. It's so heartwarming, and the relationships, and that this immigrant family who move over, and the feelings of that, and yeah, it's just really lovely. And I will admit, describing a film and it's about family, pretty much any film you can describe that. But Minari truly is about, an actual family, an actual, husband, wife, child, grandma, family. Yeah,
Yeah.
such a great film. I haven't seen The Father yet, but and The Father might hit quite home, hard home for me because that is about dementia. I had a grandma
Yeah.
who had dementia, so maybe that will be my favorite just because it's very personal to me. We will see when I watch it.
Yeah, I did like Minari. It's kind of similar with Nomadland. They're on like the same level for me. I liked them both. But neither of them I would like to win everything. It doesn't really make sense, but you know
Yeah,
what I
and the
mean.
last thing that I want, I don't know if you want to talk about best film editing or whatever, but the last thing I want to say is another round. It won best film, not in the English language, which I'm really happy about. And yeah.
I'm happy with that. I watched it on the day of
Oh
the
really? Yeah,
BAFTAs as
it's
well.
such a it, yeah, it's yes, yeah, it's great. It's my second favorite film of the year of 2020, should I say. So it's pretty much locked in. It was locked in to win best What is it, best international film at the Oscars? Yeah, it was probably locked in to win that as soon as it was nominated. But this is kind of just a defining kind of thing from the BAFTAs that it will probably win. And it's deserved because it's a great film. It's very personal. The director,
Yeah.
during, I think it was a couple of days into the shoot, the director, Thomas Vinterberg, his daughter died in a car accident, which is tragic and
Yeah.
horrible. And they were thinking about shutting the entire production down, but then he decided to go on for his daughter. The film is dedicated to her. So yeah, I'm
Yeah.
glad it won.
Me too. I've just got a few more things to
Yeah.
say. Not much, but best supporting actress. Maria Bakalova.
No. Not going to win this. Was she nominated for the Oscar? She was nominated for the BAFTA. Yeah, come on.
How is this
possible? The Borat film.
It's good. We have to celebrate. We're getting a
third. You're not getting a third Borat. Oh.
No. They're making a director's cut.
Are they? Since when?
Yeah. They're like, kind of like Blade Runner, the final cut. And
don't compare Borat 2 to Blade Runner, okay? Or Apocalypse Now. Come on.
Borat 2 to Apocalypse Now. They're the same level.
Don't go there.
But on a serious note, visual effects, Tenet, mm-hmm. it deserved it. It is a very visual movie. That made no sense, but
yeah, I've got no problems with that. Greyhound won. That's questionable. Greyhound's visual effects were awful.
Robert Pattinson should have been nominated for
something. For which film? From which film?
Tenet. What? Robert Pattinson deserves to be nominated for every role he's in, other than Twilight. He is my favorite.
Is he actually?
Yeah. Other than Twilight, like, because he's fantastic in The Lighthouse. He's fantastic in Good Time. I haven't seen High Life yet, but everything I've seen him in, other than Twilight. I'm just gonna have to keep saying other than Twilight.
Just erase Twilight from.
Yeah. Other than those films, he's fantastic in everything I've seen him in. He was one of my favorite parts of Tenet.
He was pretty good.
He made like all the scenes he was in, I enjoyed a whole lot more than the rest of the film.
I was just getting quite worried when you said he should have been nominated. I thought you were going to say The Devil All the Time then. I was getting, no, Archie, don't go there.
To be fair, he was good in it.
What? Was he though? Was he?
His accent was a bit rocky and sounded a bit stupid and sounded like he was an American on helium. But he was good for what he was doing.
Let's move on.
Tom Holland for Best Actor.
Oh, no. Let's not go there. Come on.
Tom Holland's mustache for Best Oh, this is completely unrelated, but that scene when he gets out of prison and he's got the mustache. He looks like a 10-year-old going to a Halloween party.
Sorry, father. For anyone listening, I loathe Cherry. It's the worst film of 2021. It's awful. It's been a long time since I've seen a film that bad. And Tom Holland was okay, pretty good in the film, but he was severely miscast.
I haven't seen a film this bad in quite some time. It takes a lot of risks and fails embarrassing.
Wait, are you reading my Letterboxd trivia?
Yeah.
It is. Trust me. Read the review out loud so we can all hear.
And, oh God, the title cards. Ultimately pretentious rubbish.
The title cards, the stupid chapters it's in. Epilogue, prologue, the stupid... Oh my God.
I will admit the title cards were a bit useless. The second act was a bit boring, but other than that, I thought it was fine. And Tom Holland's mustache too. That made it. That gave it.
By the way, that was not in my review. The bit where he says, "I thought it was." That's just Archie talking there. That's not my review.
Oh no! Oh, here's a part. Here's a part. But other than that, it was a fantastic film.
No, I gave it 1 out of 5. I think. I think I gave it like a 1 out of 5.
Tom Holland, please go out with... Oh, Lucas. Tom Holland's mustache. I'm sorry. I've got to keep mentioning
it. Yes. No, I gave it 1 out of 5. It got 10 likes as well. Yeah. I know. I can't believe...
Oh, wow, 10 likes? My highest like review is like 4. Stop laughing at me.
I'll be sure to like your reviews, Archie. Give you emotional reassurance. But I like your recent one now, episode 1 reviews. From the Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it was a very good episode. It was a very good episode, actually. I'm really enjoying Twin Peaks.
I know, I should.
You should watch it. Okay. I'm going to have to buy it for you.
Probably.
I'm going to have to buy you every season. Like, it's really expensive, though, on like Amazon. It's like £33 per... per season. I didn't pay that much. I paid like.
I know you got a great price for it. All of it.
Yeah, I paid 13 for the first two seasons in the film, and then 19 for the latest season, which for some reason was on sale in my local HMV, and it's
well, not on that sale is very lucky. Else.
And then I looked on the big Paulie's Facebook group, and someone found the charity shop for $2.99, and that made me very sad. But anyway.
I think I should suggest here that you set the whole thing up in the description, just put time code so people know when we can, you know, when we talk about the BAFTAs and talk about the 1976 ceremony, just so there's a bit of kind of structure to it.
I will attempt to do that. I'm not that intelligent, but I shall try. Right. Oscars, 1976.
Yeah, by the way, I just want to mention, this is the films that were released in 1975, but of course they won the Oscar in 1976.
Yeah.
So we've got kind of like Jaws, that you know, Jaws was nominated as well.
So what we're going to do first, I think, is we're going to just mention briefly, before we skip down to the bottom of the list and go up, we're just going to mention briefly the films that were nominated
for Best Picture,
so that people can... If you want to, you can pause the episode, go watch them.
That would be a big ask, but if you want to do that, you can.
Yeah, if you want to, you can. But we've got One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Really long name, really hard to say name. Barry Lyndon, Dog Day Afternoon. The only one I haven't seen. I was supposed to watch it and then found out I didn't have the DVD anymore, so I couldn't watch it. Until me. Jaws and Nashville.
Barry Lyndon.
Yay.
Woo.
Barry Lyndon should have won anyway.
Okay, right, yeah. So we're going to briefly touch on kind of the other kind of awards. Not all of them. We're not going to like talk about Best Visual Effects or Best Documentary. We're just going to kind of talk about just the main ones, films that we love that won or didn't win. Because I didn't know, but Barry Lyndon actually won 4 Oscars, which is great. It is truly, I probably call the film a masterpiece. I'm still trying to figure out what that even means, masterpiece. I'm not going to take it literally, you know, a piece of work that's done by a master, because then pretty much every film from Kubrick is a masterpiece.
Technically, it is, though. Fear and Desire, it's just not. No, we don't even consider it. I don't understand Kubrick's name anymore. It was done by Canley Stubrick.
But yeah, no, I do. Barry Lyndon is a phenomenal, brilliant film. So yeah, it's great to see it getting it. So I think we'll start with Best Costume Design, in which Barry Lyndon won. The other nominees were The Magic Flute, in brackets TV. So that might have been a TV. Yeah, TV. The Man Who Would Be King, which... actually got quite a few nominations, but didn't win any. Did it win anything? No, not from what I can see on this website. Funny Lady, The Four Musketeers, and of course Barry Lyndon, which won. And of course, it's a given. It's a period piece.
Oh, The Magic Flute is an Ingmar Bergman film. Yeah. And it's a film version of an opera.
Well, I just also want to say that the international, the international kind of films here are incredible. You've got nominations for I think the Kurosawa film won Best Foreign Film at the Oscars. It doesn't show up on our website, but I looked it up because I wondered if anything else came up. Fellini was nominated for Best Director. One of his films was nominated for Best Screenplay. So you've, at this Oscars actually, you've got the three kind of, I don't know, godfathers of international cinema. You've got Fellini, Bergman, and Kurosawa, you know. Or even, unfortunately, well, you know, I would say Tarkovsky as well, but he's kind of away from the crowd. You know, he didn't make a loads of films, but he's very kind of poetic in what he does. And his film Mirror came out in 1975, but wasn't nominated for anything because the Kurosawa film is actually not a Japanese film, but a film from the Soviet Union. So that film took its place and won.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, where did you find that? Is that on the website? Where is it? Yeah, is it at the bottom?
It's on the website. No, right at
Top. Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's got its own big section. Well, yeah. Yeah. It's the USSR. USSR. Trying to talk fast. Yeah, because he went over. He had problems with his career, if you know, kind of the context of that. He moved over and, yeah. So that must have taken the place for Bergman's Mirror, and it won. So that's something for you.
It
makes sense. It's a period piece. The costumes are great. Anything to add, Archie?
I don't know if this is true. I think I heard it in a Kubrick documentary that most of the costumes, like the background ones,
I've never heard that, so I don't know. I can't, you know, I'm first time hearing it.
I might be wrong. I might be thinking of a different film, but I'm pretty sure that all of the costumes, like in the big war scenes and scenes with loads of people, is literally just like tissue paper, which is quite incredible because they still real.
It could be, knowing Kubrick. Yeah. But yeah, I've never heard that. So yeah.
Okay, so we'll move on to production design. Which the nominees were The Sunshine Boys, Shampoo, The Man Who Would Be King, The Hindenburg, and then the winner was Barry Lyndon, which should have won.
Yeah, the and also
and they had the
another thing is that they did quite a few location. They shot quite a few on location. There's a castle. Well, it's not even a cat, kind of like a big manor house, which they shot at, which is in the film. It's called Castle Howard. That is a 20-minute drive away from where I've been there before many times. So it's great to see it in the film. It's like, oh, yeah, I've been there before. Kubrick is there. So whenever I'm visiting Castle Howard, I'm walking through, I'm like, Kubrick was here. I can't believe it. It's great.
Lucas takes home some of the soil and is like, Kubrick walked on this soil. Oh my God.
I don't have a jar next to me on my desk. Yeah, it's got a little.
It has a little Kubrick shrine. You're no, in fact, you do have a Kubrick shrine, don't you? You've got like shiny Funko box set. Kubrick, my lord, bowed down to him every morning. Praise the Lord. But yeah, Barry Lyndon should have won. Anyone who disagrees with me shall be.
Have you seen the other? I haven't actually seen any of the films that were nominated. Maybe The Man Who Would Be King.
They could all have way better production design. I just don't know because
I'm at this month. I am planning on watching The Man Who Would Be King just because it's leaving HBO Max and I want to watch it. It's got Sean Connery and Michael Caine, and it's directed by John Huston. Huston.
I want them to bring HBO Max out here, but now I've heard they were doing it, and now they've said they're not. Because of like rights issues or something. So we're
Warner Brothers is going to miss out on a lot of dough.
Yeah, a lot of business.
It is a great service.
For it.
It's a brilliant
My
service.
My parents would be paying for it. Yeah, because you've got like all of Game of Thrones, you've got Band of
Brothers.
You've
got so many. So you've got
Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad HBO?
I don't know, but that's on Netflix anyway over in the UK. Okay, and now time for Archie's favorite film, which won in this category. We've got Best Song. The nominees were Whiffs. Am I saying that correctly? Whiffs. 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 You're laughing. We're just going to move on. I'm going to be self-conscious now every time I say the title of that.
No, it has nothing to do with the way you're saying it.
Whiffs.
It's just the word.
So I'm saying it correctly.
Yeah, you're saying it right.
The other side of the mountain.
Funny word. I'm like 10 years old, okay? I have the brain of a 10-year-old.
Magony. Mahogany, thank you.
Mahogany.
Let me put my glasses on a second. Funny Lady. And the winner, Nashville.
Boring!
Yes, Nashville won Best Song. And the song was I'm easy. I can't either. I've seen that. I've got nothing to say actually about this. I just thought I'd bring it up because I know Archie does not like Nashville. Do you want to move on, Archie?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Nashville. I don't like it. I really don't. I find it is honestly, it might be the most boring film I've ever seen alongside Murder on the Orient Express from like three years ago. That trailer for that film looked very action-packed.
That film was quite poor, actually.
Like, 12-year-old me was very disappointed. I wanted to see Professor Lockhart kicking some butt, not him talking.
The next category that Archie's going to read out is actually a category that no longer exists, which is interesting. So do you want to talk about that? Read it out.
Yeah, so we got best score, adaption, or treatment. I'm guessing this is where they take classical music and change it a bit.
There's only three nominations here as well, I might point out. Three films were nominated. Yeah.
So we got Tommy, which I've never heard of. Funny Lady, which I've never heard of.
And it Married won!
Which I have heard of. Woo!
Yeah, it
was going to win. Kubrick films.
Yeah, by the way, I just want to say, I've barely heard of any of these films. Mahogany, Funny Lady, the Hindenburg, Sunshine Boys,
Whiffs.
The Other Side of the Mountain, Bite the Bullet, which won Best Sound, which we didn't mention. I don't know. I might know of the film, but from the title, it does not ring a bell.
Yeah, this is what's going to happen when we get into like the 1920s and stuff like that. I'm going to have no clue.
But I will say I have watched every film that's nominated for Best Picture.
I will attend. I haven't seen
Dog. I highly recommend it. We'll get to that. We'll get that. Yeah. But yes, as you were saying, Archie, the music in Kubrick films are fantastic, and I agree. Barry Lyndon's music, because I don't want to say score, because it wasn't originally composed, but it was, you know, a great piece of music used brilliantly in the film, absolutely astonishingly. There's a moment where it's kind of, it's not a montage, but it's just kind of like a sequence of scenes, and this music is still playing, and then something terrible happens, and then we cut to a funeral, and the music is booming, and you have that. It's just kind of the emotion. And when I first watched it, I just went, "Oh no!" You know, you're so connected to that film, and boom, cut music. That's just iconic. It's brilliant. Every piece of music he uses, you know, from 2001, which has become synonymous with the film. Same with Barry Lyndon. Same with A Clockwork Orange. Same with flipping for every film. Literally, he's done uses it to fantastic effect.
Well, I've got a little thing here about Clockwork Orange. I've just done a little flipperoonie back to 1972 to check whether it was nominated or won the same category. It wasn't even nominated.
And that category was still... What was even nominated in that category then? I want to know.
Well, the winner was Fiddler on the Roof, Bedknobs and Broomsticks, The Boyfriend, Tchaikovsky, I don't know.
And how did that not win? Country. That's a shame.
Out of those,
yeah, I completely agree.
You should have won. But get rid of The Boyfriend. No
look
one cares.
Look this film up.
Nominate Clockwork Orange.
Sounds like a romantic comedy.
Clockwork Orange has some of the best. It has some of the best like adapted music ever. The opening. Theme is incredible. Then you've got the kind of synthy version of Beethoven, plays when he's in the record shop, which is incredible. This should have been nominated. I'm mad now. I'm going to smash a bookcase after this.
Yes, so there we have it. And yes, so now it's my turn to read out the thing. We're going to Best Music, Best Original Score. So the nominees were The Wind and the Lion, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Bite the Bullet, Birds Do It, Bees Do It, and Jaws, which won, obviously, because that score is iconic. It's, again, synonymous with the film. The use of tension with that music, it's kind of a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, if Jaws didn't win, again, I would eat my hat. Let's be honest, Jaws has one of the best and most iconic soundtracks ever. Like,
might be in the top 20, play a, I would say.
Like, 2 seconds. Play a 2 second clip of the theme, you already know what it is. You can't say that with, it's one of those films where if you did that to anyone, you could do it to a random person.
But they wouldn't be able to do it if they played the score of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And I watched that film a few days ago, and I can't even remember what the music sounds like. That music did not make an impression on me at all.
I can. It's weird. It's like flute. Music.
Yeah, maybe I wasn't paying attention to the music, but I can't hear it now.
You weren't paying attention to the film?
And my eyes were glued to the screen.
Okay, we'll move on to...
Very happy about this one, by the way.
Nominations were One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Hindenburg, Funny Lady, The Day of the Locust, and...
Completely deserved. It's one of the most beautiful looking films of all time. Incredible.
Yeah. If it didn't win, again, I've said this so many times now, I would eat my hat.
Yeah.
Because they're more Kubrick films deserved to win Best Cinematography. Clockwork Orange, I don't know if it was nominated.
No.
Was it nominated? No.
Was it nominated for anything?
It was nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay, Film Editing. Not even
Best Director. Come on, Best Director.
Director, okay. Let me check. No, McDowell
was nominated for Best Director. Well, the Oscars are a joke. But Kubrick never won Best Director. Yeah, I think the only Oscar he ever won was for Best Visual Effects in 2001. You know, the only Oscar he personally received.
I'm now eternally disappointed. I don't think any of his films ever won Best Picture, which still makes me sad. Diamonds Are Forever was nominated.
Yeah, probably was nominated for Best Song, wasn't it? Best sound, really. Was it nominated the song, though? I really like Diamonds Are Forever, actually. What?
Best song.
Was that not nominated for best song? It's such a good Bond song. I can hear it right now, actually. I was actually listening to it the other day. It's a guilty pleasure for me.
I can't.
It's a good Bond film. I know most Bond fans actually don't like it. It's a good film. I do like Diamonds Are Forever.
I still think my favorite one is Skyfall. It's the first one that was rated 12 I saw, and I was like, violence, yes!
No, Skyfall, Skyfall is great. It's like, if I wasn't... Oh yeah, of course, Roger Deakins' cinematography is fantastic. But if I was... Because I grew up on the old Bond films, and so if I didn't watch them and I was kind of a modern Bond fan, Skyfall would be my favourite Bond. But since I love Connery and his portrayal of Bond and the films he was in, and I actually have a massive soft spot for On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which right now is ranked number one on my Bond franchise rank list on Letterboxd. So, yes, it is.
What?
I know, I just...
How could you?
It's a great... Yeah, it's just really... It's a great film. It's really well made, actually. I really enjoy it. I can see that, but I just love... I think it's because it's so faithful to the book. I haven't read the book, but I like how it's so faithful to it, and you can tell through what happens in the film, which is why I like it. I like the structure of it. Plus the music, John Barry, it's... phenomenal. I use it in my own film, Ice Bad Chapter 2. I don't know why we've gotten onto the topic of Bond when we were just talking about Barry Lyndon's cinematography.
We keep on doing this. We keep on apologies, everyone. Off topic. But yeah.
Okay, we've got 3 days now. Of the core Condor. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Man Who Will Be King, Dog Day Afternoon, And the winner, Jaws. Jaws won best editing.
What's Jaws?
Yeah. No, I did know. I just didn't know what you were saying. What was Jaws? I saw it won. You're not listening.
No, Jaws should have won. Jaws is best.
I think, well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Dog Day Afternoon was really well edited, I'd say. That's the thing is, Dog Day Afternoon, it's only 5 minutes over 2 hours, but the pacing of that film, especially towards the end, really derails, mainly because the Al Pacino's character just decides to have, like, a loads of long phone conversations, and it kind of, and I get because the first half of the film was so fast-paced, and I couldn't believe it, but then when we derail, it's kind of like, and he's talking for such a long time, and, you know, and I get it's got the pacing's got to have a rhythm to it. You know, you can't have a film that's at lightning pace throughout the entire thing, like Goodfellas. But then in Goodfellas, you've got like scenes that slow down. Same with Wolf of Wall Street. You have a scene that slows down. But this is kind of like a bunch of scenes that slow down. And you kind of grind to a halt, and then it goes on, and it feels longer than it actually is. So maybe in that respect, it shouldn't have won. But then again, it's just really, there's some moments where it's just like, oh, wow, you know. And it tries to have a rhythm to it. Jaws' editing was good, though.
When you were saying about pacing, I don't think The Wolf of Wall Street slows down at all. Actually, one scene where I think it slows down. The scene where he's talking to Jon Favreau, I think, while his
the scene I was mentioning when the film kind of is at lightning pace, grinds to a halt, would be when he's with Matthew McConaughey's character and they're just chatting in the, and they're doing the, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That bit where he's doing the thing. I can't remember the thing, but he's like, you know what I mean.
Anyway, we'll move on. Best adapted screenplay. So the nominees were The Sunshine Boys, Sweet Smell of Woman. That's a strange title because it's like Sweet Smell of Woman. So it's...
Yeah, it's woman, Sweet Smell of Woman. Like Sweet Smell singular, of Women multiple. Might work. Sweet Smell of the Woman. I don't...
Or The Sweet Smell... Oh, no. I don't like this. This has confused me. Anyway, Man Who Would Be King, Barry Lyndon, and the winner was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I'm not sure. Definitely a hard tie between
One Flew and
Barry Lyndon for me.
Yeah, I mean, it is the... One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is the... It's because there's three films in Oscar history that have managed to win the top five Oscars. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Leading Actor, Best Leading Actress, and Best Screenplay. This was one of them, and so I think for the film to win Best Picture, it needs to have the best screenplay in a sense. So I think it's kind of like it kind of makes sense, even though when we move on to talk about the Best Picture nominees and stuff like that, I feel there's ways of looking at it as in which is the best picture in the eyes of the Oscars. Which is the best picture is in which is the best film of 1975. Barry Lyndon would be that, but it isn't kind of the most Oscar friendly thing. I think, Woman Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest has those moments, those scenes. And it's still quite an edgy film. And the Oscars have had films that are quite edgy win, Midnight Cowboy, French Connection. Those films won Best Picture. So it's always interesting to see.
Yeah. Because it's kind of around this era where they stopped going, oh, yes, we're going to pick the best film of the year to win Best Picture. And they're kind of like, let's go for the one that most people liked. Kind of. Because if it was completely that, they would have gone Jaws. But they've kind of gone... Because Barry Lyndon is more of a traditional great film.
Yeah, well, kind of a long if pace of it. Making sense. Story.
Yeah, like Napoleon kind of thing. I regret bringing that up. That film was an experience and a half.
The 20s. What did you give that? What did you rate that on Letterboxd? Oh, was it unrateable?
I never rated it. Because I thought, no, it's not that. It's just the fact I watched it over a few days. And like, I should probably watch it all in one go.
Yeah, that is a film that I'd like to watch. But there's a certain film that I'd like to watch. And I thought, well, it's quite long. 13 hours, should I say. It's called Out One. It's directed by Jacques Rivette, French director, prominent in the French New Wave. And yeah, Out One.
Thank you. I was trying to, I knew there was a film called that. Like, there was a 13-hour film that you can get a box set of on Amazon. And I looked it up and added it to my basket once and got rid of it. And I forgot what it was called. And I've been trying to find it.
This is the day. You found it, yeah. Probably try and watch that over the course of a whole day. That would just be one film in one day. It's 13 hours. Yeah.
Oh, that would be hard. Because I like one film.
I think I'm going to have to work my way up. I'll watch Napoleon first and just work my way up to this because it's kind of like... It is a long time to be sat watching this one thing. Is it going to dip? It's got great ratings on Letterboxd, though. It's like 4.1, loads of 5-star ratings. So it's meant to be good.
Well, Lucas, here's a little factoroony for you. Twin Peaks, both of them, the original and the event series, are very high on the ratings. So,
yes, they're incredibly high, actually. I don't think there's a single film on Letterboxd that is rated a 4.7. I don't think there is. The highest thing on Letterboxd that's been rated is Cowboy Bebop, I think. Yeah, it is. Cowboy Bebop. It's an anime.
What?
It's a mini-series show thing. Yes, mini-series. Yeah, the highest kind of thing, because you've got miniseries and films and stuff like that, is Cowboy Bebop, 4.6. If you go highest rated, the highest rated thing. The highest rated film, obviously, is Parasite.
Because I know that the film Fire Walk With Me is like a 4, but on IMDb and stuff like that, it's really low. It's like a 7.1. Which is close to being
really
on IMDb class.
I don't know IMDb ratings.
Yeah. Because I know that there's only one or two David Lynch films that are actually over an 8. Mulholland Drive is a 7.7. Blue Velvet is a 7.6. I think Dune is like a 5. I love how it's completely critically panned. But I can tell I'm going to love it. Because I've heard it's just completely nuts and makes
kind of
no
before
sense
Crazy
at all.
Lynch. And that is my not refined at all. It's kind of just all over the place.
Yeah. I think he's just not been not held back. Because Alex's Movie Corner, he rated his short film, his Netflix short film, a 3. I gave it a 5 because I thought it was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen.
I need to watch that.
Have you watched it yet? It's so good. Watch it.
It does look like a good time. Like, you know, David Lynch
15 minutes
interrogating a monkey.
It's nuts.
What more do you want?
There is a musical number, and I genuinely have the music, like the song he sings, on my phone as my ringtone.
I'm sold. So
that,
I'm already sold.
That should show you how good it is. Yeah, it's masterpiece.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Why are we here? What are we even? What is
I
this?
I don't know. What happened?
People still listening?
Where are we? Best adapted
I'm back
screenplay.
I think we'll
How
move
did
on.
Do that?
Let's just move on. We're now on best original screenplay. The nominees were And Now My Love, Shampoo, Lies, My Father Told Me, Armacord, that's the Fellini film. Yay. Haven't seen it. I own it. It's, you know, I love Fellini. So, but the winner was Dog Day Afternoon. Yeah. So, yeah. And it's Actually, this doesn't. This I've seen Dog Day Afternoon, right? And it's based on true events, which is crazy when you watch it. You think, what the heck? This actually happened? And it says at the end of the thing, based on an article or something by so and so. So I don't understand why it is best original screenplay.
Oh,
it was adapted from a true story from an article. Yeah.
I'm not really sure.
I mean, I'm obviously wrong because, well, it's in, maybe I'm not, I don't know, but from what I've seen, from what I know,
Well, by that logic, something like 1917, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, say, Private Ryan or something like that, which aren't totally based on true events, but they take
But the story of those films kind of put their own... are original. The story of Dog Day Afternoon was based off an actual thing that happened. The whole, you know, the reasoning behind the characters and things was all true, and you know, the ending and everything, all true. But anyway, apart from that fact there that I just highlighted, you know, please reach out on Instagram if I'm wrong. I'm sure someone will. It is a good screenplay. I haven't actually seen any of the other nominees. I wish I could say I've seen Almacord, but I haven't. I'm sorry. Sorry, Fellini. And also Shampoo here. I can't believe, you know, it never struck me as a film that has got nominated for so many Oscars. It's available on Criterion Collection Blu-ray. It's always kind of looked like a campy kind of weird 70s comedy, I guess. I don't even know what it is, but yeah, it was nominated for a lot and didn't win anything, I don't believe. But I believe the director of the film, if I find it here, well, where is the director? Oh, Carrie Fisher's in it. Oh, that's surprising. Hal Ashby. Hold on. There is a point to this, don't worry.
I'm completely confused.
I think, yes, it was next, the following year, a film Bound for Glory, that film, so that 1975, loads of nominations, great for Hal Ashby. Following year, that film was nominated for Best Picture. I don't know what my point is of all of this, and it actually won two things. Oh. It won Best Cinematography and Best Score Adapted or Treatment. So, yeah, I don't know why I brought that up, but I did. So there you go. That's your fact of the day. Completely useless. And I've wasted a bit of airtime now.
That's strange, because Shampoo is not very well
received. Yeah, it looks by the kind of solid. I guess it's watchable. It's not an awful, it doesn't look on the ratings like an awful, terrible film. Yes, no, it is an interesting theory, so it's worth something at least. It's in there for a reason, so no. But then
it
again,
can't be completely awful.
Archie learned something quite damaging to the Criterion Collection, which I stupidly brought to his attention.
Oh yeah. Michael Bay has films in the Criterion Collection, guys. This is pretty amazing. Of course, Lucas owns those films, he just doesn't put them on his shelf because he is a true Michael Bay stan. Whenever he goes into a Poundland, he picks up every copy of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles films. He picks up every copy of Transformers that he can find. He loves The Last Knight. Anthony Hopkins is his favorite actor. No, not because of Silence of the Lambs or a good film, because of his amazing
Naturally,
role
all of
in
this
The Last Knight.
Is not true. except for the...
No, don't know. You can't not deny it anymore.
Also, those criterions would be quite rare.
It's true.
Because they're out of print and they're DVDs.
I know. James sent them to you along with the Laserdisc.
No, it was a Laserdisc.
Oh, no, sorry, the vinyl.
What do you mean?
The vinyl.
I did say it was a vinyl. Then I realised
it was
a Laserdisc.
I said it was a Laserdisc.
How much of this video did you watch, Archie? Yeah,
it was a funny video.
Okay.
All of it. I was attempting to make a joke. It didn't work. Right. Foreign language film. We have the winner, which was Dursu Uzala. Then we have Letters from Marusia. Sweet Smell of Woman. Yeah. Sandokan 8. There's 8 of them. And The Promised Land, which is from Poland. Interesting.
Sorry, yeah.
I haven't seen any of them either,
but I'm just glad to see Kurosawa winning. And also, yes, The Promised Land. That's directed by Andrzej Wajda. Obviously, not does it ring a bell? I don't know.
Nope.
I hope I'm saying his name correctly. I did. He also won an honorary Oscar as well. Oh. Yeah, he directed Ashes and Diamonds. There's a film Scorsese kind of says it's great. I've seen it. So it's pretty good. Quite good.
I had his list on my phone.
Well, that is one Ashes and Diamonds. That's a recommendation to people. It is actually quite great. I give it a 4 out of 5. That's if that means anything to anyone. But yeah, unfortunately, we're very cynical. We only watch English language movies. We don't care about in foreign cinema. So we don't waste our time on Italian. Yeah, we don't care. We're very,
well,
you know.
In between a movie. And
oh yeah. So let's move on.
Where it's at. Even Apocalypse Now is a step too far. I just say Die Hard. Die Hard 5, is it? Good Day to Die Hard. Best action film.
Oh, actually, I've been saying that Shampoo didn't pick up any awards. But I've just looked at Best Supporting Actress and Lee Grant won in Shampoo.
And
yeah, that's
no
odd. That's annoying as well.
Here, so
but
I have no clue who they are.
Yeah, so we're on Best Supporting Actress, everyone. The nominees were Lily Tomlin in Nashville, Ronnie Blakely in Nashville, big ensemble. Brenda Vaccaro in Jacqueline Susan's Once Is Not Enough, Sylvia Miles for Farewell My Lovely, and Lee Grant, who won in Shampoo. I've seen Nashville out of the films nominated, so the performances. Don't remember their performances, mainly because the pictures aren't showing up here, which is quite annoying. Yeah. But I'm afraid we wouldn't have anything to really say about this category. Apologies.
No.
Apologies all. I'm sure that was a category many of you were looking forward to. Anyway, yes, we'll go on to Best Supporting Actor. Archie, take it away.
So we've got Jack Warden in Shampoo, Brad Dourif, yes, please, in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Chris Sarandon in Dog Day Afternoon, Burgess Meredith in The Day of the Locust, and George Burns, who won it in The Sunshine Boys. Personally,
who did he play?
Like
because
Brad
the
Dourif to win.
The picture is not showing up. Which character did he play in the film?
I can't remember. But I know that he was good. He's the guy who plays the wormy looking pale.
I'm just gonna look where it's.
He's also Brad Dourif, which is totally not why I wanted
there
to
with us. So he plays. Oh yes, he plays Billy. Yeah, he plays the one with the stutter.
That's a nice nomination.
Yeah. He was very good in the film, actually. So yeah, I'd agree. Actually, it'd be nice, but I think it was his first film role, one of his first film roles. So
I think it would have been one of his first ones because he's still alive and still acting now. So
he's only 1975.
I'm pretty glad.
Jack Nicholson's still alive.
Jack Nicholson's alive, but he doesn't do anything anymore. He's just there. He doesn't do anything anymore. I think we can all. He was one of the greats, but now he's just one of the lates. I hate
and,
myself.
Yeah, just looked. By the way, I just looked.
Up to anything.
I think it was Brad Dourif's third film role. So yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good then. Should have been nominated for.
Also, how come you always get the easy names to read out? I just realized every time I read out a name, I pause. Oh, great. What
have
I got
yeah,
now?
You've got another hard one. Leading actress.
Okay,
away,
so we've got
Anna,
sorry, let me start again. So we've got Best Leading Actress here. I don't know if I'm just going to cut that out or not, but we'll see. We've got best leading actress here. Anna Margent.
Anne Margaret.
Isabel. Isabel in The Story of Adele H. Carol Kane in Hester Street. Was it Gelda Jackson in Hedda? And Glenda Jackson.
Glenda Jackson, Hedda, Lucas.
Louise Fletcher in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Louise Fletcher, yeah. I got nothing to say about
that. Yeah, she was great in the film. She's really great, actually. Apart from that, she kind of just doesn't... She does the kind of the same thing, if you know what I mean. Her emotions very rarely change in the film.
She's just
evil. She's not that bad, actually. I think her. The film was trying to... You know, the film wasn't painting her as a villain as much as she was a hero. She was... I think some of her methods were not great, but I think her heart was in the right place. Yeah. Again, apologies, people. I think this is a fun podcast to listen to, though.
Oh, God. I've just realized names I've got to read out.
This is great.
Okay. So, on to best leading actor. We've got Walter Matthau.
Is he the Matthew or Matthau?
I'm going to say Walter Matthau in The Sunshine Boys, Maximilian Schell in The Man in the Glass Booth, James Whitmore in Give 'Em Hell, Harry, Al Pacino.
How did you get that one wrong?
Who's Al Pacino? Al Pacino in Dog Day Afternoon, and Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Jack Nicholson. Pacino was great. But Nicholson was also superb. I think both of them did a great, very strong performance. It's kind of on the same level. I'm glad Nicholson got it because in the 70s he did some great films, great early roles, and great to see kind of his progression as an actor. Pacino, I was going to say he won for The Godfather, but it's tragically he never won for The Godfather, which is stupid.
I think I've got to admit something here. I've only seen one Al Pacino film.
Which film?
The Irishman. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It's still disappointing. Still,
yeah, I haven't seen the Godfather trilogy.
How did you not buy it?
It was £12 in my CEX. But I didn't. I ran out of money. I bought Twin Peaks instead. Like, to be fair, £12. I looked at it; it was pristine condition. I was very tempted.
Anyway, but still, I just realized, because Pacino, I think his first Oscar win was for Scent of a Woman.
Scent of a Woman.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
It's not his best performance. Yeah. And I mean, both of them. It's hard to see how Nicholson won over Pacino, actually. Both of them were great. Both of them on the same level.
I did like Nicholson's speech, though. Have you seen Nicholson's speech when he won?
Oh.
He didn't actually turn up.
What was the reason?
But for a reason. He did it for comedic effect. He basically pre-recorded a video on the set of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and said, "Sorry, I can't be there. I've been locked up."
I saw that. But I thought it was for the BAFTAs. Didn't he do that for the BAFTAs as well? I'm sure he won.
It was. I don't know. He might have done it for both.
Was he not expecting to win?
It was one of them. I can't remember.
Surely he would be there.
I don't know. I really don't know. Well, because some people are saying that they know beforehand.
Who would know? You know who?
Yeah. So, like, the winner knows.
I will know. I mean, especially if you see some reactions
Gwyneth Paltrow.
What was her reaction to that?
Shakespeare in Love had like a full on. She had a full-on mental breakdown on stage and started crying.
If she found out beforehand you know, the reaction.
And then Marlon Brando.
Yeah, that was crazy, no, you know, watching how he sent up the Native American woman to accept the award. Yeah, that was horrible.
Everyone booed, and then people started clapping, and then the people who were booing just went,
clap, clap, clap.
It was rather amusing how hypocritical Hollywood can be sometimes. But we can't bully Hollywood too much, or they'll stop making films, because, of course, we are the voice of the many.
Of course. They
listen to our podcast. You know, we've got Tarantino listens, you know, good friends. I'm going to his house next
week. What are we even talking about again? Oh, yeah, Jack Nicholson. His Oscar speech, or lack thereof.
Yeah.
But he did win. He's won the Oscar three times. So he's had plenty of times to... He won each decade, actually. He won Cuckoo's Nest in the 70s. 80s, he won for a film that I can't remember the title of. apologize. But I know in the 90s, he won for the film As Good As It Gets.
I think I can check. Terms of Endearment is the 80s one. Was he nominated for...
I don't know. Terms of Endearment. Oh, yeah, that won Best Picture as well, I believe.
He wasn't nominated for The Departed.
Yes.
That's upsetting.
He was great in The Departed.
He's great.
But yes, moving on to Best Director. Here's an interesting conversation. So,
yeah.
The nominees were Robert Altman, Sidney Lumet for Dog Day Afternoon, the master of cinema himself, Stanley Kubrick for Barry Lyndon, Federico Fellini for Armacord, and Milius Forman, who won, of course, for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yes, unfortunately, I know, I say I love Fellini, I do, but I let him down here. I haven't seen Armacord, probably should have watched. I know...
He's rolling in his grave right now.
I probably should have watched Armacord before doing this. I'm a terrible person, I know. But,
you're an awful person.
Out of these nominees here, the best, you know, we're talking about the best here, Kubrick. Kubrick.
Easy competition.
Lumet, very, very good direction. I loved in the film how spontaneous and improvised the camera movements felt. You know, it just kind of felt like all over the place. I love about the film. Altman, nice to see a nomination here. I can see why he was nominated, because Nashville is a big film. It's a very long, sprawling film with a massive ensemble cast, and the way he like big cast, and the way he kind of directs that and stages it, and you know, it's a big thing to do that, and he's known for his big ensemble casts, and this was one of his first, and you know, it is, you know, Nashville is kind of considered one of his best. It's highly rated on Letterboxd things, and I know Archie feels it's very, you know, boring and things, and I didn't connect with it very much, but you do mean you don't like Boston that? You gave it like a 3.8 or something. That's a very positive rating.
Don't
say
2.1. No, maybe like a 3.4, because I was thinking about it afterwards and I was like, kind of found it.
It's great characters though. How can you be bored?
The characters are good.
Yeah, but it is the film literally is the characters. Like, there's no plot to it. There's a little plot, you know, that's what it is. That's his thing. There's very little.
Yeah, I guess plot I don't like that.
Yeah, and that's the problem we have with a lot of his big work like Nashville. I don't find the characters very interesting, but, you know, there's some great bits in Nashville. I really like the opening, and I think it does work for a bit of a microcosm of America. That sort of people say, and, you know.
I don't think he makes, like... Well, this is another situation where it's like the cinema's art versus just entertainment. think if I was a full on, yes, a film has to be, everything has to be good for it to be a good film, I would like probably say that they were good, but they're just not very entertaining. But they are, to me, they're just not very good at all.
I recommend watching The Play. I think you'll like that. He is like one of the best American directors.
Yeah.
He's great. I've seen a lot of his work. And I think you'll like The Player a lot, because you've seen two of his films, where it's very much character-driven rather than plot. The Player is very much plot-driven, but with a big ensemble. Yeah.
Yeah, I might actually like it.
Quite funny. Really quite funny, actually.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we will, but I just wanted to mention Milos Forman, because he actually won in this. He took home the gold, which was great for him, because I think his direction was very strong, very solid. But not, I don't think it was as kind of creative, maybe, or masterful as Kubrick, or as I'm sure Fellini was, or Altman. I think he just did a great job at directing, if you know what I mean. Really, you know, because all these other guys, even the Met, they take risks and things. And Forman gets some great performances out of people. It's actually quite a funny film, One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I was laughing a lot in the film about what happens, and, you know, getting the characters up into, you know, getting the actors up into character, getting them ready, and stuff like that. He did a you know, it wasn't bad. But anyway, yes, you have the honor, Archie, of reading out the nominations, and we will discuss. So, best picture. Let's go.
Right. We have the boring one, Jaws, Dog Day Afternoon, Barry Lyndon, and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. The boring one is Nashville, which anyone couldn't tell. But yeah. The winner was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which
if we disagree with looking Barry at Lyndon kind of won, personally. The better film here, the best film out of the bunch, Barry Lyndon. This is kind of how I would rank we have five films here, so bottom of the bunch, Nashville, even though it's not bad. Then you've got Jaws, then I'd go One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, then I'd go Dog Day Afternoon, then I'd go Barry Lyndon. Yeah. Oh, what would you go with?
Very different. Barry Lyndon, Jaws, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and then Nashville.
By the way, I was not saying Nashville was number one. Below the other. If you couldn't. Yeah, because I say, you know, because you started with the best and worked your way down. I worked my way up. Because I wasn't saying that Barry Lyndon was, you know, at the bottom of the bunch.
Yeah. Barry Lyndon was the worst. Lucas, how could you? But yeah, Nashville we're not getting into it again, but I think it's just it's not a film I can just sit down and go,
yeah,
I can watch this now. Or I sit down and I'm like, yes, I'm interested. I'm happy to spend a few hours with this. Instead, I'm just like, time to be bored. Jaws.
Yes.
The classic. It's one of Spielberg's best films. I love Jaws. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
It is very good. I just feel like, there's just something missing about the film.
I'd
give it a 4.3. It's very, like I said, I did a little bit of review for it, and I said it was very, very strong. And I would rate Dog Day Afternoon just a slight... Yeah. I gave One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest a 4.3. I would give Dog Day Afternoon a 4.4. So it's just that one. Yeah. Close. But I just don't know. I think Dog Day Afternoon just had that punch to it that you want out of a film. Although I will add that at the beginning of Dog Day Afternoon, there is a dreadful music choice, which I hated. It kind of ruins the film for me, actually. I just don't understand why they would pick that music. No music at all. I don't even know, but it doesn't fit. Because the opening of the film is just kind of exterior shots of the city. People kind of going about their business, doing whatever. Lasts for about 3 minutes. And I understand why they set that up, kind of the calm before the storm, you know, of what's to come. Because the robbery just begins. You know, there's no build-up to it. There's no kind of planning. It just begins, and we have to work out why these people are doing these things. as the situation develops. Yeah, so I understand why that was done, showing, like I said, the Calm Before the Storm, what people were doing in the city. But then it's just these dreadful music choices. It just was like, I feel like I'm watching a film from the 80s or something. Just like one of those, one of those films. You know what I mean? Or just with the song in, it's kind of like happy. It's just, it doesn't work at all. Just don't, it didn't, yeah, if they didn't use the song, I think tension would have just been built just from maybe if they edited it slightly interestingly with, the different noise, volumes of noise, with what people are saying and what people are doing. But yeah, yeah, anything else to add, Archie?
Yeah, I think all I gotta say
Yeah,
is
I mean, it's not an
Barry
obvious choice to
Lyndon.
win, but it is a film.
No, it wouldn't win. It's kind of on, you're on that kind of
Yeah.
level where it's like it should win, but it won't. Like The
Yes.
Social Network, it should have won, but it didn't. Because, of course,
Yes.
they had to release the King's Speech. Why? We don't care that. I'm going to get angry again. I don't care that he could talk without stuttering. I get it's a big achievement for you, but Mark
Well,
Zuckerberg made a website.
so what's his name? The guy who play Colin Firth, which royalty does he play? Who does he actually play?
I think it's
Ah,
the
okay.
Queen's dad. Or it's either the
Oh,
Queen's
okay.
dad or
Right.
the Queen's granddad is one of them.
I didn't see the film yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, how do I, oh yeah, because you like your history, don't you, anyway?
Neither do
So
I.
because.
Yeah, it's one I will watch, but I'm probably gonna not enjoy it purely because I'm gonna be angry at the
Yeah,
film for not letting The Social Network win. Although I just clicked on the 2011 Oscars page and Black
yeah,
Swan was
competitive year, I
nominated.
guess, but and
Yeah, because you got Inception, 127 Hours, True Grit, The Social Network, King's Speech, The Fighter. There's a lot. Very, very
Oh, really?
competitive.
Let me just
We might have to
click
do
on that.
that one next,
2011, so the
actually.
2010s. Oh, yeah. Oh, Winter's Bone. The Kids Are All Right. Great. Those. I think that. How many nominees? Come on. Just come on, Oscar.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It would be very interesting to talk about this because it's a lot of nominees. There's a lot of nominees.
The top row.
Oh, well.
The
Well,
top row is very
you've got
competitive.
Inception there. That's not competitive.
And The Social
I
Network.
would,
Just put The Social
Inception wouldn't
Network
have
up at
won.
the top. Inception, I feel it was nominated
I
for
wonder if that
the
nominated
stuff that
as
it
a
was
screenplay.
because the studio
Just,
took a
I'm
massive gamble.
curious. It was, yeah. Inception was nominated for screenplay.
Oh, I just realized. The Social Network won screenplay.
Oh
Yay!
yes, yeah,
It won
that's
something.
highly, highly deserved.
Oh, and
Oh
film
yeah, Trent
editing and
Reznor
score.
and artist
Oh, wow, it actually
Scott,
won a lot.
they're probably going to win this Oscars as well.
Yeah, I have no doubt they will win. Like there's like an 89%
Yeah.
percent
Anyway.
chance they'll win.
I think we've wrapped it up there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we are done with the
Yeah, join
1976
us
award
in 2 weeks'
ceremony.
time when we discuss the winners, the losers of the 2021 Oscar ceremony. Very exciting. 2 weeks to go on this day. We're recording it on a Sunday, so literally 2 weeks on this very day. It will, everything will. Yeah, we'll have winners. We'll have losers. It will be Monday for us, yeah.
Although it'll be Monday because it starts at 2. Oh, if only it started at 2 in the morning on the Sunday. If only. Then I wouldn't have to like not watch. Then I would have to watch yeah. it because it starts at a time when I'm awake. That sounds bad now that I think.
I could.
I'm
could
awake
not do
at
that.
2 a.m. on a Sunday.
If it was, I would do that for the Oscars.
Sometimes
but
I
normal
do
circumstances. I would not be seen awake at 2 o'clock in yeah. the morning.
Yeah, yeah, not normally, but sometimes.
Yes, binging Twin Peaks.
If it's an important occasion. What? No, who said that? I was not doing that. I've not done that every day this holiday. I'm so sure I have. I have. It's bad. It's really bad. Oh, it's such a good show. I love it. It's like my favorite show. I finished the original run and the film.
Okay, yeah. I'll ask you after the after we've kind of called cut, because I was going to ask what was it about. We, you know, that might be a long answer. I don't know.
Yeah, can we worm our way into doing a Twin Peaks episode? I could talk for
anyway,
like 3 hours.
Yeah, I think that does it, everyone. If you're still some reason listening, thank you very much. And yeah, if you want to close it off, Archie.
Yep. Yeah, so thank you everyone for listening. Again, as Lucas said, we'll be back in 2 weeks with the actual Oscars, and then maybe 2 weeks after that we do the 2011 ones, like we just said, because it seems quite competitive and quite interesting, and there could be some good discussions on that one. So yeah, if you don't already know, we've mentioned this previous episode, we both have YouTube channels. Lucas is at The Filmmaker and I'm at Film Geek 13, so if you haven't subscribed, please do. It would be very much appreciated. We both also have Instagrams.
Yeah, I think I'm
The
Filmmaker
the same names as
YT.
Our YouTube. You'll be able to find them. I think I'm Film Geek 13 YT. Damn, that sounded intense. That sounds intense. But yeah, we're going to at some point create an Instagram account and everything for this. So
we're going to get
a Facebook,
very social
MySpace
media savvy.
And
Twitter, Reddit, everything.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Get newspaper too. Newsletter.
I'm going to have a Twitch.
Let's get a 4chan page, guys. 4chan page going.
No.
No, that was too far. TikTok too far. But yeah. Thank you, everyone, for
see
listening. And we will see you all next time.
Okay. There we have it. That was great, Archie.